Life of the Messiah, page 181. 181, with 5 minutes, this is your test. And this will wrap up this section in Matthew 26 at the Garden of Gethsemane. And as you can see, it's very simple. We've read this text, but here's what I wanted to finish on in this particular text. As he keeps having them watch and pray. And so verse 40 says, "Then he came to the disciples, found them sleeping, and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" And you know these passages very well. "Again, a second time, he went away praying, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Okay, you know the story. You know, you've seen that scene. Here's the question. Is he having them come with him for him, or is he having them do this for them? Is it for his comfort, or is it for them? It's for them. Okay, that's question one that you've passed. It's not for him per se, it's for them. He is trying to teach them an object lesson. God doesn't need anybody. But yet he is modeling something in front of them that everyone misses. What is he modeling in front of them? "Come with me. Stay here, pray." And then he takes another third group with them. "Come with me, stay here, watch, pray. Lest you enter into temptation." What is he doing? What is he teaching them about Christianity that no one seems to, for some reason, get? Yes, you got it right off the bat. You got it. You can't do the spiritual tests and temptations alone. You need others with you guys, because when you guys are going to be put to the test, I am modeling that I am taking you with me to accompany me with my trial. You're all going to abandon me, but I'm modeling something for you. You cannot do this alone. The minute you think you're flying solo, you're dead meat for Satan. He will take you and twist you into a theological pretzel by yourself that you'll never get out of. So if you like to fly solo, if you like to withdraw, if you like to be by yourself, bad mistake. You have to stay connected, especially when you're going through trials. You need the body of Christ. That's number one. Why are they sleeping? This text doesn't indicate why they sleep. It just says they're sleeping. An interesting phrase is then given in Luke 22:45, and it tells you why they're sleeping. Do you know why they're sleeping now? Luke 22:45. "They were sleeping from sorrow." No one ever sees that. They're escaping reality. So when people like to escape reality, they take sleeping pills. They get drunk. They get on drugs. They have found a way to escape their sorrows, and so they're going to sleep to escape the bad stuff going on around them. They're checking out. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Are you serious? It's not that you're just sleepy from a long day. They're trying to escape reality through sleep. Oh my land. They're using sleep as a drug. Does that not shock you? But it shocks me in one sense. It doesn't in another sense. Because people choose sleep a lot of times for their choice of escaping reality. They knock themselves out. Either they drink too much alcohol or wine or whatever, and they pass out, and they do that on purpose, or they do enough drugs to pass out, or they take enough sleeping pills to pass out. You mean to tell me it's not just because of fatigue? No. They have just been told, "I'm leaving you. You boys are on your own. Sell all you have and buy a sword. You're going to have to protect yourself by yourself now. I'm going." And they're freaking out, not knowing what to do. All chaos is breaking loose around them. Their whole reality is shattering, and the one thing they do to escape it is sleep. Check out. Get out of reality, which is the form of every addiction that Christians get into. Every addiction is about escaping reality. I don't care if it's food. I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, isolation, sleep. It's all a form of escapism. And Luke nails that. You don't get it in Matthew, but you get it in Luke. Oh, my land. You know what he was saying then? By stay awake. Stay with me. Keep praying. You know what he was saying? Please interpret that. What he means by them trying to escape from reality. What was he saying? Stay in reality with me. Otherwise, you will lose reality, and then temptation will come and destroy you because you're not in reality. Stay with me. He's the truth. He's the life. You stay in reality by staying next to him. The minute you get away from him, you're out of reality. Focus in on him, and he says in the text, avoid temptation, that you don't fall into temptation. This is not about him. This is about them. I need you guys to stay with me, stay alert, stay focused in on me, so you can stay in reality. If you stay in reality, boys, you can avoid temptation. The minute you get out of reality, temptation will overtake you. So imagine the scene. If they would stay awake, what are they seeing? They are seeing Jesus in distress. But they're so checked out of reality, they can't even meet his needs, even though he doesn't need them to meet his needs. They're so checked out of reality, I'm just going to run. I see you in distress, but you're freaking me out. The whole scene is freaking me out. I'm going to go to sleep. They can't meet others' needs because they're checked out of reality. Even if they see their brother in need. And David, there's a prime example of the church standing there watching people suffer and not doing anything while they burn. So what do? The Christians in the church see people suffering, they see people hurting, and they're more concerned about their reality. I'm just gonna check out. I can't handle this. Dude, are you serious, man? Yeah, that's Christianity right now in America. There's no connections because everyone's doing their Lone Ranger version of Christianity. They don't have any friends. They won't make friends. They won't try to make friends because they don't want to connect. So they stay disconnected. And when they're disconnected and they're hurting, no one ministers to them. And when they see other people hurting, they can't minister to them because they're checked out. They're in a bubble. I'm dead serious. This is one of the most serious passages I've ever seen been practiced in the church, just as the disciples are practicing. And this is why everyone's caught in addictions. This is why everyone's checked out of reality. It's a real deal. I wanted to leave you with that because I cannot get a better picture of people who want to escape reality than the disciples that night. And when what happens? Tell me what happens because they failed to be in reality. What happens to them? What's the temptation? They deny him and abandon him. They run. They can't stay present. They flee. They run. They get away as fast as they can from his presence because his reality, which is the truth and true reality, is too scary for them. So they try to find somewhere to escape. So literally, they escape, right? They run. He wants them to accompany him as he's being arrested. He didn't need them, but he wants them to be with him, even though this is all going to go down. He's wanting them to be with him. It's an object lesson that they will need one another when he's gone. And so stay with me. He's already told them, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed. But he was protecting them. He would have protected them. But the point is, I want you to come with me through everything. For their sake, not his sake. And they couldn't pass the test. The temptation was, will you stay with me through all the cross. And did they? No. Only John comes back, but after all of this has been done. None of them passed the test and what he told them would happen. Did they do it later on? Of course they did. They learned it after on. But that trial, they failed the test. Absolutely. They've done tests on people, even in the secular world. If someone will have a spinal tap alone, they freak out. But if they'll have someone do a spinal tap and their wife or their spouse will hold their hand while they're having a spinal tap, their whole system calms down. It's weird. Everything just starts calming down. They actually can endure more pain if their spouse is holding their hand while they're going through a procedure. It's amazing. It just calms them completely down by having that human touch. That's what Jesus was trying to point out. There's something about human touch and physical touch from someone you love that you can face everything. Why did he send them out in twos? So they're never alone. They're never alone. He wants them connected. So the pattern in Scripture is always connection, not disconnection. When Christians disconnect, they're on bad territory. Weird stuff starts happening. And they start thinking goofy.